One of the things I realized in 2020 is that money will not flow where it isn't wanted. One of the things we did at our big event this fall at Impact Lives is we actually made that entire event about unpacking the money mindsets that are holding us back. I was so deeply fascinated with this topic this year that we built a whole event around it. So these, I know, are not just my own limiting beliefs. I know that these are pervasive within our broader community. I also know that mindset around money is slightly different for men than it is for women. And so when I'm talking about these things and I'm talking about taking radical responsibility around money, I want to be very, very clear, especially to all of the women in our audience. I am talking directly to you.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So we have hit episode 3 of 3 in our 3-part series where we are covering business, body, and inner badass as we walk into 2020. So not only have we crossed the threshold of a new year, I have crossed the threshold of 150 episodes of the Entrepology Podcast. And I wanted to celebrate by just taking some time to set the stage as we move into a new decade and into a new year. And what I want to really get into in this third episode is I want to start to unpack the concept of wealth and money. And to give you some background here and why this is really of interest to me. So certainly we've got a platform that helps entrepreneurs and go-getters build out their businesses. So money is obviously a component of that piece. But I'm actually just really fascinated in the mindset that enables people to start to build wealth. When I was a kid, and I was 12 years old, my dad handed me my first business book. And it was a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. Some of you maybe have read it. And he handed me this book and he said, read it and we'll talk about it. I was kind of like, oh, okay. He'd never done this to me before. He didn't give me any context. And I clearly was a rule follower when I was that age because I sat down and I read the book. And in about 10 days or so, he asked me if we could talk about it. And we talked through it. And he understood that I understood the core concepts. And The Richest Man in Babylon is really about this notion of paying yourself first. So as we get paid, we set aside a certain percentage just for ourselves. It goes towards investments. It goes towards our future. It's the very first thing we do before we pay out all of those other bills. We pay off all of those other things. That's the essence of this book. And I read the book and we spoke about it together. And he said, listen, what I'm doing is I'm going to increase your allowance by 10%. And week after week moving forward, my allowance had increased by 10% until about 4 months later, he handed me another book. And I don't remember what that second book was. And I don't remember the third book was. I remember what the fourth book was. And it was a book called One Up on Wall Street by Peter Lynch. It was all about investing. I was young. I was like 13. But what he did each time is he increased my allowance in accordance with my acquisition of business and money acumen. He felt very strongly that for me as a, at that point, a girl, and then eventually as a woman, that I really would benefit from having exposure to conversations related to money, how to acquire money, how to manage money. And it absolutely served me well. In fact, after I read What Up on Wall Street, my allowance again started to increase. But it was also that era where we could actually look at stocks in the newspaper. And so I had a series of stocks that I would watch every single day. And we talked through why were they going up? Why were they going down? What was the economics behind it? How were they impacted by world events? So I had this really incredible opportunity around the mechanics of money at a young age. And one of the things that I realized as I got older and as I matured and as I started to own my own businesses was that despite having excellent mechanical understandings of money, despite having financial acumen related to how to save and what makes a good investment and what frankly makes a good business, one of the areas where I had not necessarily had any exposure is around mindset to acquire money. So I had all of this mechanical knowledge, but what I was lacking was really an opportunity to start to unpack my own issues with respect to money, to start to unpack the way that I had been taught or exposed to money being a metric of one's success. How do we move and actually look at money as being an opportunity for massive contribution? How do we start to get rid of the mindset that accompanies failures and things that didn't work out in business? How do we let those go so we can get back on track? How can we expect money to come into our world when you spend your first 28 years of your life in school where you don't necessarily see money flowing? So I had all sorts of experiences with money that were outside of this sort of academic exposure that I had had at a young age. And all of that had created for me various meanings. And so as I got older and as I started to really get into my business and build out my own independent life, I started to have an understanding as to how all of these different exposures and all of these different meanings and all these stories I had told myself about money were impacting my capacity to grow further. And so for the last year, I've spent a considerable amount of time and energy really starting to understand the mindset pieces of money and working slowly but surely to start to break them away. And what I want to share with you in this third part, in this badass vertical of our three-part series, is how you can have more money in 2020. See, what happened quarter after quarter of me eliminating these mindset pieces with respect to money is we actually had our highest earning year by far in any of my companies. Because what I did is I started to take away and remove the limiting beliefs that I had been carrying forward. And as soon as we start to break away those limiting beliefs and we pair them with some level of business or monetary acumen, the sky is the limit in terms of where we can start to go. So not only has it reinvigorated my interest in understanding this topic at a very deep level, but on a very practical level, it has directly contributed to our ability to grow the way we have in our business in the last year. So what I want to do in this third episode here is I want to start to unpack what some of these ideas are. I want to start to give you some tools and some areas for you to be able to start to explore so that you are able to have more money and begin to acquire more wealth in 2020 than you ever have previously in your life. Now, the first thing I really want to look at with this is this understanding of your relationship with money. How do you feel about money? We were all told a story about money growing up. It is such an omnipotent topic within our lives that no one escaped from childhood unscathed with beliefs around what money is. Maybe you had a family where you believed that money flowed easily and it could provide an incredible lifestyle. And if that was your starting point, then you're further ahead than most. Or maybe you grew up in a household where you were told to believe, or you were certainly told, that money was for other people, or that money is the root cause of all evil. You better believe that as you move into your own state of adulthood, if you don't start to unpack these core beliefs, they are going to come back to haunt you. One of the things I realized in 2020 is that money will not flow where it isn't wanted. One of the things we did at our big event this fall at Impact Lives is we actually made that entire event about unpacking the money mindsets that are holding us back. I was so deeply fascinated with this topic this year that we built a whole event around it. So these, I know, are not just my own limiting beliefs. I know that these are pervasive within our broader community. I also know that mindset around money is slightly different for men than it is for women. And so when I'm talking about these things and I'm talking about taking radical responsibility around money, I want to be very, very clear, especially to all of the women in our audience. I am talking directly to you. Part of having money and attracting money into your life is taking radical responsibility for your own attitudes around money. So if one of your beliefs around money is that it will always be provided by other people, let me tell you, that is always going to be the truth. And that is one of the most disempowering places I could ever imagine putting myself. So for all of us, we're going to come up against beliefs around money, and we need to understand whether these beliefs are empowering and help us further our financial situation or whether they are holding us back. So this idea that money will not flow where it isn't wanted sounds so obvious, but when we are carrying around a narrative inside our own mind where what we are saying is, money is a bad thing, or money is the root cause of all evil, or I'll never have money, or only those people have money, we limit our capacity to step into that other version of ourselves. And money will not come, and it will not flow where it's not wanted. So as a really quick triage for yourself, I want you to stop right now. How does it feel to actually sit there? Maybe you're driving your car, maybe you're at the gym. If you are, you can just mumble this under your breath. I love money. How does it feel to say that? I love money. Could you look at your parents and say to them, I love money? Could you look at your partner and say, I love money? Could you look at your kids and say, I love money? And if that creates a trigger for you, if that's uncomfortable for you, I want you to start to unpack why. I want you to start to unpack where that's coming from. And I'd love for you to start to explore what needs to be true in your life for you to be able to say that statement out loud and not feel shame or not feel embarrassment. What are the emotions that come up? I love trigger questions because they're a rapid way to start to get to and understand the root cause of where these things are coming from. So let's take that a step further. Let's take you from I love money, see what happens emotionally, to me asking you a really practical question around 2020. How much do you want to earn this year? I don't mean like I want to earn $1 billion. That's great. You probably need some sort of financial foundation in the hundreds of millions to start with. I don't mean completely unrealistic, but I mean realistically, what do you want to earn this year? And then my next question to you is, well, why not more? See, all of the teachings around the energetics of money, there are some certain commonalities. And one of the commonalities is that we all have our own wealth ceiling. We all have a paradigm in which we operate where we feel comfortable in terms of the management. We can't even conceive necessarily of having billions of dollars. But in some cases, for many of us, we can go, I can easily see myself with 5 to 10 million. For others, they go, I can easily see myself earning $250,000 a year or $500,000 a year. But beyond that, you don't even have a capacity to see how that could happen or how you would manage it or who those people are who are able to acquire it. So I want to get a sense for you where your wealth ceiling actually sits. What do you want to earn in 2020? And then I will ask that second question, well, why is it not more? And here's a nice triage point for you to really be able to understand where you're at. If it's an emotional reaction that you get when I ask you, well, why not more? If you're like, well, that's selfish, or I don't need more than that, then I want you to really start to unpack the limiting beliefs that are holding you back, because this is a belief system that we need to look at for you. What if I said by having 20 to 50% more than your original number, it meant that you could give it back? That you could contribute to the cause of your dreams, that you could step into your role as a philanthropist. Does it still feel bad? So if it's not an emotional reaction that you got to and you're like, listen, like I'd be quite happy with $5 to $10 million. I don't have a clue how. Then now what we know is that the fork in the road of where we can start to unpack and work with respect to money is on a very practical level. We need to facilitate for you an understanding, give you access to paradigms on a practical level on how you can actually be earning more in your life or in your family. But it is a jumping off point. And I ask this question, how much do you want to earn and why not more? To really understand if what's holding you back is emotional or is it practical, because it gives us a sense of where we need to take in terms of our next steps. All of this, the idea in exploring these things is to understand where our basic set point is so that we can start to remove the layers of the onion as it pertains to our capacity to accumulate wealth. One of the challenges that I put out at Impact Lives this fall is I challenged everyone to identify how they wanted to contribute in 2020 as a philanthropist. And the room gave me this blank set of stares. And I backed up from that question and I said, how many of you in this room already identify as a philanthropist? And not a single hand was raised. See, we have this core belief, even as it pertains to something as simple as contribution and how we give back, that philanthropy and giving back is something for wealthy white 65-year-olds. It's people who want their name on the side of a building. But the truth is that philanthropy, that capacity to give back either in time, energy, or money, is something that's accessible to all of us right now. So as we start to move towards action that we can take in 2020, as we start to address your set point, my very first question for you that can be tied to action is, where can you serve as a philanthropist in 2020? Is it a financial contribution that you can make? And in looking at this through the lens of philanthropy and contribution, are you then able to elevate your set point? Are you then able to wrap your head around earning a little bit more? I want this for all of you, because I know if you're hanging out in our realm, if you're hanging out in the community of anthropology, that you are someone who truly believes in a bigger vision, that you are a go-getter, that you are a visionary. And having the capacity to fund that vision is what takes it from an idea to actually being something real. So let's start to turn these thoughts into action. Let's start to put pen to paper so that we have you moving towards a bigger financial goal for 2020. The first thing that I want you to do as you get started into this year is I want you to actually start to take a journal. I want you to record a journal for the next 30 days, and I want to see what starts to come up for you in terms of your feelings around money. What I want you to do in this journal is daily, I want you to go online. Most of you are hooked up to do this. And I want you to log into your bank account. And I want you to record how much money is coming in. Now, this might be your personal bank account where you do this. This might be your business bank account. Or frankly, you might do it in both. I did this exercise last year because what I realized is I didn't like going into my bank account. I didn't like to look at it. I enjoyed the feeling of not knowing better than the feeling of acknowledging. But I also knew that there was zero room for financial growth within our business until I took radical responsibility for what was coming in and what was going out. And for 30 days straight, I went into my business bank account and I wrote down everything we earned. I didn't focus on where we were spending money, because I actually had a pretty tight handle on that. What I focused on was how much money we had coming in. And you know what I realized at the end of that 30 days? We had about 25% more revenue than I actually thought we did in our own mind. We were making more money than I believed we were because I didn't want to look at it. So for 30 days, I went in and I looked at those numbers. And every day I logged in to look at those numbers, I would have different feelings that would come up. Some days the feelings would come up as I was logging in. Sometimes the feelings would come up as I was looking at those numbers. Some days I would be disappointed that things weren't as high as I thought they could or should be. And each time I went back to my journal and I wrote down exactly how I was feeling and where I felt that was coming from. And it was such a rapid way for me to start to acknowledge and triage some of my core limiting beliefs as it pertained to money. I also realized in a 30-day period that there were four or five core beliefs that were consistently part of my narrative. It gave me a place to start. So I want you to start to write down where your money is coming from. Even if you don't own the business, even if you're like, I'm hanging out at the Anthropology Podcast because Megan's kind of fun, but I don't own a business, or I'm home with the kids right now and I don't have a direct income, I want you to log in anyways. I want you to take radical responsibility for your family's finances. I want you to have a very strong understanding of where money is coming into your life. And I want you to start to unpack your feelings around that. The next thing I want you to start to look at is do a really honest inventory of your own financial acumen. Do you have an understanding of what all of your accounts are? Do you have an understanding of the investment portfolio that your family has? If you and your partner have money set aside, do you understand where that money is actually being invested? I want you to start to take a landscape, an inventory, an honest inventory of what you do and you don't understand as it pertains to your own financial acumen. If the spirit of this podcast and the idea of starting to move more wealth into our life is paired with this notion of radical responsibility, then even if we're going to start to unpack the mindset part, which is actually the really fun part, it needs to be paired with an honest understanding of your current set of financial acumen. Where is it at? Or are you at a place where you don't know what you don't know? All of these things are really important and critical places for you to know as your starting point and as you move forward. One of the resources I really love to give people in terms of getting started in understanding their financial acumen is actually a Canadian author. Her name is Shannon Lee Simmons. She's super cool. She's been on the podcast here before, so you'll be able to reference some of those episodes that we have done together. But she has got some really great resources in helping you to understand your fundamental financial acumen so that you're able to make really strong decisions moving forward. All right, I've got a few more things I want to share with you. I've got a few more action items that I want you to take. First and foremost, I want you to start with your journal. Secondly, I need you to take a really strong inventory of where your financial acumen currently sits. And then there are some basic things that we all need to have in place. The first is a system. Bookkeeping is not a system that manages your money. Bookkeeping is a record system where you can go backwards and look at what your financial state was last month. Managing your money requires a system moving forward. If you are an entrepreneur, I want you to check out the Profit First system. I want you to look at Mike Michalowicz's book, Profit First, and really start to dissect that system. It is an excellent financial management model so that you know where your money is and how you can maneuver it and what you need to set aside moving forward. And by set aside, I don't mean for your retirement. By set aside, I mean for your taxes every single month. The Profit First methodology is an excellent place to start. If you don't run your own business, if you work for somebody else and you're like, I don't have a system around how we manage our money as a couple or how I manage my money as an individual, one resource I will suggest you take a look at. If you go to youneedabudget.com, this is a whole system for being able to, again, manage where your money goes from paycheck to paycheck, how you can start to set money aside from an investment perspective, but how do you start to maneuver money so you always have enough, not going into your bank account and acknowledging what you have, not being realistic about what you are working with, is the fastest way to put you into a state of distress as it pertains to the management of your money. When we look at our patient files and we look at the primary sources of stress in people's lives, and remember, stress is the primary reason that people have chronic disease, money is just about always listed as one of the top sources of stress in someone's existence. Talking about money is not just about business. For me, ultimately, it's actually a health issue, and it's one of the most upstream ways that we can start to manage your health over the long term. So you need to look at a system. Profit First is one to look at, and so is You Need a Budget. It's an excellent software to help you move money around. The next thing I want you to consider doing in 2020, if you don't have it already, is opening an investment account. Again, if you've taken your financial inventory and you're like, yeah, I don't know how to invest, then looking at a solution such as WealthSimple or some of the other automated ways for you to be able to invest money is an excellent place to start. One of the things that's actually really cool is starting to look at how artificial intelligence manages your money versus real people. And especially when you're first starting out, unless you are a highly sophisticated investor, artificial intelligence and the algorithms that a company such as Wealthsimple will use compared to having an investment advisor will move your money in just about the same trajectory of growth. Have a look at something like Wealthsimple, even if it's a very small but consistent contribution that you are able to make. Part of it is acknowledging and going through the ritual and the steps of investing in yourself. It's one of the most fundamental actions you can take when it comes to taking radical responsibility for your finances. Radical responsibility step number three, I want you to finalize your will. It doesn't matter if you have kids or you don't have kids. This is one of those things that you just need to have in place. What finalizing your will does is not only make things easier for you to be able to plan for, it most importantly makes things much, much easier for your family. And if you have accumulated a certain level of net worth, what it does is it keeps the accumulation of that net worth out of the hands of the government and into the hands of the people that you love most. Finalizing your will definitely goes on to that list of radical responsibility for your adulting life. And if you haven't gotten it done, put that on the to-do list for January of 2020. Now, I've already mentioned this and spoken about it, but number four on the radical responsibility list, I want you to identify a charity of choice where you are able to make a regular and consistent contribution. We are not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. We are probably not talking about putting your face on the side of a hospital in 2020. But what we are doing is talking about getting into the habit of leveraging what you earn and using it to contribute in a bigger way. It provides micro purpose. It provides purpose to what we do on a daily basis. And it's a really, really powerful way to shift your physiology around the idea of earning money. You don't need to be a wealthy old man to be considered a philanthropist. It's something that you can start to do today. And as we create a call to action at the end of this particular podcast, this is what I want to ask all of you. Where are you going to serve as a philanthropist this year? That's the conversation that we're going to continue and carry on over in the Anthropology Collective. Now, the last thing I want you to do when it comes to taking radical responsibility for yourself when it comes to finances, this one is actually a little bit fun. But the reality is if you don't do this, you are not going to have things come to fruition. The fifth thing I want you to do on this list is I want you to create a vision board. I actually want you to start to write down in a place where you're going to see it every day, the things that you want to accomplish this year. Maybe you're cutting a picture out of a magazine. Maybe you are just writing down the word. If it's not there in front of you, it's not part of what you are moving towards. It gets lost in the mayhem and the chaos of being an adult in the modern world. If you want to start to have money and wealth and abundance flow your way, you need to put the symbols of that right in front of you. You need to have something to work towards. And honestly, creating a vision board is just a little bit fun. You know, in 2019, I really got disciplined around doing this. I really started to write down what those primary goals would look like, where we wanted to head. And what was amazing, all of the big ones that I wrote down that I focus on every single day, each one of them came true. It's almost scary. Talk about limiting beliefs. It's almost scary about what could be possible in 2020, or frankly, in the next 10 years, if one really puts that vision out in front of them, because we have this tremendous capacity when we are focused as human beings to make things come to fruition. We have this deep desire to be congruent with our dreams, to be congruent with what we put out there into this world. And my big question I've been asking everyone lately is, what is your impossible dream for 2020? And it doesn't have to be in your business. It doesn't have to be in your work. It might be in your own personal life. Let's start to put impossible dreams out there onto that vision board, because the best case scenario is that we hit them. The worst case scenario is we exceed anything we possibly could have imagined. So these are the foundational pieces that I want you to consider having in place. Some of them are highly practical. Get that will finalized. Some of them are a little bit more fun. I want you to create that vision board. But all of them are about directing you towards a state of higher abundance in your life. And when we have abundance that flows to us easily and freely, we are able to contribute in a way that we never could conceive of before. So on that note, as we move into 2020, I really truly believe that when we are accountable, we are helpable. I'm not the person who saves their wishes when they win the wishbone or when lucky things happen in their life. I love to share those wishes out loud because I believe we build our own wishes. I believe we need our community and our people to help make those come to fruition. So I would love to hear from all of you. I'd love to send you over to our Facebook group, the Anthropology Collective. It's where we hang out. It's where we chat about all the things. I want to know what is on your philanthropic vision board for this year. Where do you want to contribute? Where do you want to help? Where do you want to invest your time or your money or your energy this year? Let's carry this conversation forward. Let's make 2020 the most abundant year yet. It is such an honor to be moving into this new year with all of you. Let's jump on over to the Anthropology Collective. And until next week, go build something amazing.